It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Behind the Braves, the official podcast of the Atlanta Braves. I'm your host, Atlanta Braves digital media content manager, Ricky Mast. My co-host, Greg McMichael. We're giving him the week off. He's been working hard and a little under the weather, so we're going to give him this week off, but fear not, he'll be back with us next week. In the meantime, I've brought in one of, I think I can say this on behalf of everybody in this front office, one of the most well-liked and just favorite people that's here in our Atlanta Braves front office, Jonathan Taylor. He is the Bill Bartholomew Fellow. The Bill Bartholomew Fellowship, that's a program that was started recently here with the Braves, and you'll hear JT, that's as you hear me calling him Jonathan Taylor again, that's his name, but we all call him JT around here. He will tell you about that and what that fellowship entails. But Jonathan, he's got one heck of a story. So he grew up playing baseball, really, really good baseball player, really fast baseball player, went on to play at the University of Georgia, and until an accident that he had on the field there at Georgia changed his life, changed the course of his life forever. And so he is just one of the most inspirational people you ever meet, just one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. If you've come to Braves games, before he was the Bill Bartholomew Fellow, Jonathan was on Braves game day staff and was out there in the ballpark meeting and talking with folks. And so some of you listening have probably met JT and probably know just how great of a dude he is. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Here he is, Jonathan Taylor. Well, JT, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here, or join me here on Behind the Braves. I'm so accustomed to saying us because Greg and I are usually in here together, but he'll be back with us next week. But just so excited to have you on. So I want to get through your whole story. I'll back up and say that last month here in the front office, our DE&I Culture Committee put on an event for all of us in the front office. It was marking the anniversary of the signing of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And you're one of the panelists, along with Katie Hearn, who we've had on this show, and Andy from Ticket Operations. The three of you spoke, and you were so great. And I loved hearing your story and that you were so open with everything. So I thought, you know, as long as you're cool with it, we need to hear more Braves. We need to have all the Braves fans that could hear your story as well. So thank you for taking the time to be here.
Well, I appreciate you for giving me the honor to be on the podcast with you today, and thank you about my story. I think that was a great thing that we did together, all three of us. You know, it took a lot of courage for all of us, especially, you know, for all three of us. It was just amazing to give our stories and just let people, you know, give them a little insight on, you know, what life was like after our, you know, pre-injuries, because, you know, we all had a life before our injuries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all thankful just to be here. So, yeah,
absolutely. We're thankful to have you here. So we'll back up. I want to start just because you're a baseball player. I was curious because I don't know this about you. I've gotten to know you a little bit, but I was curious, growing up, did you have a favorite baseball player growing up?
Yes. Specifically, I had Ricky Henderson was my favorite player.
Were you fast?
Yes. And, you know, yeah. I didn't have the height. So, you know, I definitely had to rely on my speed. So, and at one point, you know, I used to be able to hit home runs when I was younger, but then I lost it. I don't know what happened. You know, and then, I was just always told, you know, look, you know, the most important thing was just for me to get on base. So that was took home with that and just stuck with it, and, you know, stole a lot of bases at a young age, and you know, just got faster. So I really, you know, I enjoyed that. So then Ricky Henderson, you know, I mean, he had the power, but I mean, just watching him run the bases, you know, around, you know, at my age, watching him was just amazing on like how aggressive he was.
Yeah, that's what I love about like what we're seeing Ronald Acuña do this year, and just the new rules this year. I love that element's coming back into the game. We're getting to see guys run again. We're getting to see athletes do their thing and be athletes. It's great to see. It's fun, isn't it?
Right. No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's amazing. You know, to bring back the stealing the bags back to the game. You know, where, you know, at the time, like for the last 5 years, it was really about, you know, just power. And, you know, now teams have to, you know, adjust and, you know, actually implement all the other things to the game that actually made the game pretty interesting, you know, not just power. So, I mean, it can give anybody an opportunity to play in the big leagues, you know, short, tall, you know, fat, slow. I mean, you know, you know, all the above.
I love that. There's always been, like, in the postseason every year, most teams will get one guy that maybe they weren't on the roster much during the regular season, but then the postseason they got one guy that's on the bench that can run, fast. And so I like that, and I always like that element, that there was that element in the postseason, and I like that we're bringing that back into the game year round now, because I, like you, Ricky Henderson was one of those. He was one of the dudes when I was growing up. Yes, sir. And when I was growing up, I was always a Braves fan. So, like, David Justice was, Ron Gant, Terry Pendleton. David Justice was my guy.
Right.
But my buddies, like, if they weren't Braves fans, I mean, it was a lot of people were Ken Griffey Jr. fans. You know, we had a lot of Fred McGriff fans on the Braves side, too. But Ricky Henderson was always there at the top of the list for everybody. For that reason, I mean, he was just so exciting to watch, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, it didn't matter, you know, what team you rooted for. I feel like everybody was, like, you know, a fan of Ricky Henderson. You know, like, I mean, like you said, you know, King Griffey Jr., I enjoyed him too, but I knew that wasn't my game.
Right.
And I felt like I could implement my game, like, more like Ricky Henderson than, you know, like most people were, you know, they were really were, like, King Griffey Jr. fans, mm-hmm. you know, because he hit the long ball, like, all the time.
Right.
You know, I mean, watch those home run derbies, and it was just amazing. I mean, yeah. I needed it three in a row.
Oh, yeah.
I
think so, yeah.
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 That was amazing.
It was amazing.
You know? And then when everybody wears their hat backwards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he brought that around, so.
Absolutely. So when did you first start playing baseball?
So I didn't start playing till I was about 8 years old. You know, so previous to that, you know, I mean, started playing sports at 7, was playing basketball, but then, you know, got into baseball, played rec ball, you know, 8 years old. And then, you know, travel ball started for me at a young age, at 10 years old. So that was pretty eventful. Then after that, you know, sky's the limit, you know, just, you know, travel ball.
Where did you grow up? Where were you playing? Was it around here or was it somewhere else in Georgia?
Yeah, so Cobb County,
in Cobb County,
So, I mean, everybody knows East Cobb. So I had the opportunity to play East Cobb when I got to high school, you know, so because, you know, I feel like, you know, East Cobb had that, you know, that name for, you know, if you want to, you know, take your career to the next level. That was, like, the place to go mm-hmm. at that time. You know, now it's different. You know, everybody has an opportunity. You know, they can play wherever and still get that shine to, you know, make it to collegiate level or the, you know, the majors. You know, so, but, like, yeah, I mean, it was just a great opportunity at that time for East Cobb.
Were you mostly an outfielder or pretty much always an outfielder?
Yeah, I was an outfielder, pretty much outfielder the whole time, unfortunately, because I was left-handed and I was short. And, you know, I mean, I could run fast. So it was like the pitching opportunity was out of the window, playing first base, couldn't do that. So then the left-hander, you know, me being left-handed, I wish I could have thrown right-handed. That would have given me a lot more opportunities. But, you know, yeah, just being left-handed and just being fast, the outfield was the only thing I had for me. I mean, I remember when I was younger, I got the chance to play catcher, and that was pretty cool. I mean, I would love to see a left-handed catcher.
Yeah.
You know?
Right? Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, yeah. Yep, that was about it, yeah.
So at what point did you start realizing, like, hey, I can not only go play in college, but, like, I could play at a big-time, like, D1 program. When did that first start becoming realistic? Or was that always your goal?
Yeah, well, my goal was, like, you know, anybody else at a young age, especially when you're in high school, you know, when you realize you have the opportunity to get drafted and go, you know, play in the minors and, you know, make an opportunity to get up to the majors. That was always my dream. But, you know, when college, you know, when I realized a lot of people actually doubted me, you know, they didn't really think because, you know, I was so short, I didn't have the opportunity to actually, like, probably make it to a big college or even, you know, minor leagues, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I always kept, you know, that always had that, edge on, you know, I always kept that edge to make, you know, that always pushed me, you know, because it was like, you know what, you know, the odds are against me, you know, short, you know, don't have that much power, but, you know, I can make up for it for, you know, different ways to, you know, to make a difference in the game. And I realized, like, honestly, I realized I could be, like, I could compete. Honestly, when I was like 16.
Okay.
Yes, I felt like that because what I liked about East Cobb is like we competed against teams that were 2 years older than us, you know. So, mm-hmm. like, we played in like really like big tournaments. So, that really like prepared us you know, for the collegiate level or, you know, levels above that. So it was like we had no fear against playing against guys older than us that were throwing 90 plus. You know, you don't see that a lot, especially in high school. You don't see that a lot. But like during the summer, it's very competitive. So you had no room for air. So and then also, you know, just going back, just being an African-American, I really feel like, you know, you're pushed against the wall. So you have a small margin of error of making mistakes. So you really want to prove to people that, you know, I can compete with anybody.
It sounds like you had a lot that you used to fuel you, which is great. I mean, I think that's a great attitude just to have in life, like using people that doubt you or using those adversities or things that are maybe somebody might hold against you, using that as fuel. I mean, that's wonderful. I think that's great for any of us in anything we're doing in life. That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes, sir.
So at what point did you decide, okay, I'm going to Georgia. I'm going to Georgia to play ball. How did that process play out?
Ooh, so, right. So it was like for me, my family, you know, it's not really big for like most of us actually go to like a, you know, a big time, you know, college or anything, you know, just going to school in general. And, you know, just having that opportunity to go to UGA at that time, it was just like one of those quick moments where it's just like, hey, you know, I get the chance to go to UGA. So I was like, go ahead and sign the papers now, you know, go ahead and let's do it, you know, because it's like, again, you know, my family, we don't really get that opportunity to have that privilege to, you know, play for a big time school, especially for the University of Georgia, you know, Georgia and how big it is. And I really didn't realize how big Georgia was until I got there, you know. So when I got there, I mean, I got completely brainwashed and, you know, been a dog ever since. Yes, sir.
Well, I got married earlier this year and my wife is a Bulldog. And so I've also been getting brainwashed. I'm trying to brainwash her into being a Virginia Cavaliers fan. We compromise. So she's bought me some Georgia t-shirts and I've gotten her some Virginia stuff. So it's we're making it worse. But I know how that brainwashed. I can see how that brainwashed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, then, you know, like when you live in Georgia, it's a little, you know, and then Athens isn't too far. Especially if you go up there enough times, you're like, okay, it's not that bad of a ride.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, but it is like the atmosphere. And, you know, just what you're surrounded by, I mean, it just makes it just more loving,
right,
to be around.
Sure. So how was, I mean, you get started at Georgia, and how was it playing just as a member of that team? Was it fun? Did you enjoy it? Was it grind? I mean, how was that leading up to the accident? How was your experience there?
I have no doubts about, like, not even doubts, but just like, you know, I enjoyed every moment at UGA. Ever since I got on campus, again, the grind was amazing. I love how, you know, we approach, you know, getting ready for the season. And just like when once you got on campus, you knew you were competing for a position. You know, we had one of the highest classes going into that year, you know, especially in 2008 when they went to the College World Series. You know, the next year when our, you know, recruiting class was like amazing. And again, I always implement the height difference for me. You know, I was the shortest one. And being an outfielder, and there's like 5+ outfielders, you know, I had to compete against. So it's just like starting from that fall, like once you get on campus, you know, it's going to be a grind. And, you know, again, I'm just thankful for being able to, you know, to make it through all those, you know, obstacles, and then having the opportunity to play collegiate baseball my freshman year. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we had like 5 of us that played. We got the chance to play our freshman year, and that was an amazing opportunity. And again, I mean, I got the chance to play, and I mean, I had a really, really good start to the season, and then, you know, flattened out a little bit, but still.
Yeah, it's baseball. It happens.
Exactly. You know, yeah. It's like you start off hot, and, you know, a lot of things start happening. You're like, all right, you know, this is good. But then again, baseball, you know, there's a lot of adjustments, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. So, I mean, again, it's a humbling game. But again, I enjoyed every moment and just, you know, kept pushing.
So let's talk about the accident that happened. And what year were you at that point?
I was a junior at that time. That was 2011.
2011.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that was my junior year.
And so what happened that day? It was a collision with you and your teammate?
Yeah. So yeah, it was a collision with me and my teammate, Zach Cohn. Yep. I go ahead and give him a shout out. Woo woo.
What's up, Zach?
Right. Exactly. But unfortunately we had a collision. I got the bad end of it, but that was against Florida State on a Sunday, you know, which, I mean, I mean, now that I think about it, you know, it's some weird but cool moment. It was like, you know, first day, you know, Friday, you know, we lost. You know, we were coming back on that Friday, lost like, I think like 6-5 or something like that. But then on a Saturday, you know, we came back out, you know, believing, you know, like we actually got a good chance against Florida State, because Florida State was pretty ranked pretty high.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Yeah, you know, so it was like, you know, they had some really good players. But, you know, we didn't let that stop us. You know, we fought that day. And, you know, what's a moment for me is that, you know, I actually had the chance to hit, like, you know, one of the, you know, game sacrifice hit that game. You know, the first guy got a triple, Peter Burton. But, right, those shout outs.
That's right. Hey, shout them all out.
You know, he hit a triple, you know, start the game off with a triple. I think it was like the 7th inning, 8th inning, something like that. But yeah, you know, he had a triple down on, you know, third base line. You know, everybody was hyped and everything like that. You know, I'm hyped. I'm like, let's go. You know what I mean? So, but long story short, you know, I really felt like I was really finding myself at that moment. But, you know, when I had the opportunity to hit, I hit the ball really good. But, you know, it was a great hit. And but unfortunately, it was a line drive to somebody. But in the outfield, but it was a sacrifice fly. Guy scored, you know. Long story short, again, you know, we end up winning that game. But then that Sunday, you know, morning, you know, we're feeling good. We're coming in for the rubber match and stuff like that. And, you know, third inning, I think it was like that. But, yeah, I mean, we're fighting against them. And then, you know, I'm playing center field. Zach's playing left field. And then, you know, that ball was just hit right in that area. You know, of course, you know, we're all told to call the ball. But at that moment, it was just like, I'm going to get that ball, you know what I mean? I'm sprinting, you know, because it was like a low line drive, so I always called it the Bermuda Triangle. But it was just like, you know, between the center field, left fielder, and shortstop, and, you know, just running it in and, you know, being aggressive, you know, because, you know, it's just in our nature, and trying to get the baseball. And unfortunately, everything has happened so quickly. You know, I just hit, you know, I collided with my teammate. My head hit his hip, and, you know, I did like a 180, but I was awake. And I was just like, oh man, what happened? I was just in the shock and stuff like that. But yeah, I was in the shock, and I was just like, dang, I really can't move. I was like, I don't know what's going on, you know. But then, you know, when it started settling in, just realizing how hopeless I was, like not being able to move, really, you know, sat into me. And I was just like, dang, like, I'm really I don't know what's going on. But, you know, I wasn't worried at the moment until, you know, went to the hospital. And, you know, the whole circumstances changed, especially when what I was told, you know, what had happened. I was like, wow. So after that, went through rehab. After having surgery and everything, got transferred to Shepherd Center. Shepherd Center is in Atlanta. You know, got transferred out there. And they really, after all that happened, I mean, I was, you know, I was devastated. Of course, you know, anybody would in a situation like that. And, I'm confident in everything, telling my teammates, hey, I'll be there in 2 weeks, man. Don't worry, I'll be back. Not realizing how, you know, serious this, you know, the circumstance was. But
and what were the specific injury that you had suffered?
So, like, you know, I had suffered a spinal cord injury. So I had broke my neck, and it was fractured. So I had suffered a C5, C6, you know, injury in my neck. And I realized, you know, me, just going through the rehab was just, you know, mind-blowing, because it's like I literally had to, like, work on building strength in my neck again, not realizing how heavy the neck is. You know, I think they told me it's like 10 pounds, but 10 pounds literally felt like a ton to me.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, but just, you know, just going through that, you know, going through that was a tough moment for me. You know, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I mean,
yeah.
Like, again, like, you go through that situation, it's like, all right, there's no point in talking to anybody right now. It's like, all I want to do is rehab. It's like, honestly, I didn't even want to talk to the therapist, but I give credit for the therapist at Shepherd Center, because it's like, you know, there were so many people, and there were so many different circumstances, and help those that get hurt, get out of their situations, build, you know, to help them overcome the situation that they're in, and how to overcome, but also just how to adapt to their, you know, life now, because, you know, you might not have been in that situation for a while, but literally not in a while, but just like, yeah, you've never been in that situation. So it's like, how do I adjust, you know, to the circumstances? And I really give, like, Shepherd Center big props to honestly getting, like, honestly, just me or just anybody in general, you know, the courage to, you know, work on what they need to to honestly just to live, you know, in living the life that we are in today, you know, and just continue just to make adjustments, like figuring things out so you can just live your life.
So I mentioned my wife was a fellow UGA student, something else that you have in common, or she has in common with you. So while she was at UGA, she had an accident. She was crossing the street and got hit by a car, had a traumatic brain injury. Very, very close to dying. I mean, her parents were called and they said the doctors told them just to hurry up and get there because she wasn't going to make it. Thank God she did. But she also ended up at Shepherd Center, and everything you're describing, that's kind of how she's, because she and I didn't know each other at that point, but it's how she's described that to me. And so it's just, it's really powerful to hear that. So I'm getting emotional sitting here talking about it.
Right.
But so you're there and you're starting to turn that, I guess mentally you're starting to turn a little bit of a corner. What point do you start turning the corner of like, okay, because you mentioned earlier, you know, you, and I can tell in the way you talk, you've got that mindset of like, people are going to doubt me or doubt that I can do this or I can do this other thing or that. Like, is there some point at which you start going, okay, this is not going to define me. Like, I'm going to press on. I mean, I just can't imagine how hard that had to be, because I would think your whole life, you know, you've got this one dream, you're going to be a baseball player, and then it's just taken away from you like that. I can't imagine. I mean, you said you didn't want to talk to anybody. I would imagine. I can't put myself in your shoes, but I would imagine that's how I would be too. At what point did you start going, okay, like I'm going to pivot from this and I'm going to fight on?
Honestly, just like, I would just say just like having the support, you know, like just from fans, family, you know, again, outside friends, inside friends, like, and then people, the therapists and all that stuff, really just, you know, sort of just like made me realize I just need to focus on therapy. And just do that, and then you know whatever outcome happens, you know, just go along with it. And but just honestly, just have keeping a positive attitude. Again, like I say, it helped that I have a lot of friends and family members and stuff like that to keep me in a positive mindset. But also, I just didn't want to, you know, I mean, I always had that personality. Just, I'm an optimistic person. Like even to this day, like even though I'm not walking, I still like, still optimistic, like one day, hey, you know, maybe that big toe is like, woo, you know, move, moving, like, oh shit, you know, you know, so, you know, I'm always be optimistic until, you know, I'm no longer here, but, you know, I'm just, you know, thankful for the support I've always had, and then also just having God in my corner really helps a lot, you know. So, and then I'm not gonna let my situation, you know, dictate, you know, what I can do in life. I mean, I let that, you know, get me down a little bit. I mean, like any person, I feel like,
sure,
I really shouldn't, you know, be hard on myself for that, you know, just because, you know, it happens. It can happen to anybody. But also just, you know, having a great outlook on life and not, you know, thinking about the negative things, but just thinking about as many positive things that you can do. And just realizing, you know, even though I might be in a wheelchair, I still have an opportunity to possibly change people's perspective on life. And I mean, I realize most people have more, you know, they have more struggles in life than I might have, even though I'm in the wheelchair and they can walk, you know. So it's like, oh, and then I've always seen people worse than me too. So it's just like, you know what, I'm not gonna, you know, feel bad for myself. You know, I'm gonna do best to make a difference, you know, whether that's, you know, on the field or off the field, you know. So that's how I take it. That's how I sort of pretty much look at life now a little bit.
Yeah, well, you exude that every single day in this office. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen you without a smile on your face. So, we'll get to you coming to work with the Braves. Did I read somewhere, and you tell me if I read wrong, did you teach for a little bit before you were with the Braves?
So I didn't teach exactly. I actually just helped out a little bit with baseball.
Okay.
You know, like instructions.
A little bit of coaching.
Yeah, a little bit of coaching and stuff like that. You know, because I wanted to get myself out there a little bit more and not just be, you know, cooped up in a house or, you know, just leaving the world alone, just being to myself. So, I mean, honestly, this is just a couple years back, though, too. It's just like, you know, just being around the game in general. You know, this makes me feel good. And just seeing kids, you know, play again. So I was just like, you know, there's got to be a way eventually, you know, that I can possibly say something. Was like, who will listen to me? You know what I mean? That's how I always felt. It's like, but I realized too, is like, I actually, you know, it's a great opportunity to be able to go to, you know, to, again, to play on a collegiate level and playing baseball. So it was like, I realized I needed to have more confidence in myself when it came to you know, really helping younger generations out, and just being around the game. So it was like, honestly, me going back to high school, mm-hmm. you know, really helped a lot. And just, you know, just being around kids and just realizing, like, man, this game is fun. And, you know, it's like, if, you know, if a kid wants me to help him out, why not? You know,
right.
I don't mind giving back.
That's awesome. So at what point did you start working with the Braves? Was it a game day staff role with the Braves, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so it was the game day staff, you know. So I had the opportunity to work the game day staff, and because I actually have I actually knew somebody that was working up here, and I was just like, hey, you know, just to get my foot in the door, you know.
Yeah.
You know, to be around the sports. It's like, can't ask for anything better than that, just to be around the sports. And it doesn't matter what job description it is. I wanted to be around the sports. And if I get the chance to make people happy, you know, I think being on the game day staff on guest services is a great idea. So that happened a couple of years ago, and enjoyed it, you know, just being able to talk to everybody, you know. And I think they enjoy seeing me out, because it's like, all right, you know, he's out having a good time. It's like, but I enjoy, again, my biggest thing was just like being able to see a smile on their faces and having great conversations, you know, and not thinking about my situation.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. We're so lucky to have so many great game day staff members here, and it just adds to everybody's experience. And I know you certainly did that for a lot of people. I mean, I always look at, you know, God, all of Braves country knows the great Walter Banks. And it's always amazing when you bring up somebody from game day staff that's been with the Braves for a while. Like, and I, on the social media side, you know, a conversation, somebody will mention a game day staffer or that gave them a great time or great experience, and they'll maybe put a picture up or something on Twitter or whatever. And then you'll start seeing other fans finding it, and they'll be replying with their same pic, like a picture with that same usher, same game day staffer from that they met years ago, and they talk about them, and what a great time, what a great experience they had. So it's just such great work that y'all do down there. So now we're going into what you do now, and you're the Bill Bartholomew Fellow. Of course, Mr. B, a hugely influential figure with the Braves, is credited as being the man who brought the Braves from Milwaukee to Atlanta. And now you are in the Bill Bartholomew Fellow. So just tell Braves fans what that means and what you do here in that fellowship.
Right. Yeah. No. So like, I mean, that's a great honor. Like, I mean, I had the opportunity to learn about Mr. B and this, like, again, him bringing the Braves down here to, you know, Atlanta, you know, having a lot to do with like Bill Lucas, I mean, Hank Aaron and stuff like that. Like, it's a special honor. And, you know, it's just like the fellowship program is amazing. Like the fact that I got the opportunity to get to be a part of the fellowship program is amazing. I like how we have the opportunity, or I have the opportunity to learn about the front office and what we're going through on a daily basis, which people might not ever know, like the grind the front office actually goes through. I mean, baseball is great now, but I feel like the front office makes it go really like a long ways. And I give all the credit to the front office, because like literally it's a grind every day, even off season. You know, like the preparation for the season before it even starts, and then even after, you know, during the season too. It's just like you have to stay on top of it at all times. And like again, I'm the opportunity that I get right now is just to learn everything, soak it all up, and then just really just getting to know how many great people are, you know, within the front office. You know, so many great personalities here and so many great people to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, just networking and getting to know everybody. Like, again, just soaking up as much information as possible.
As part of the fellowship, you kind of go around, you spend a certain amount of time with each department, right? And kind of get to sit in on meetings and learn a little bit about how that department runs. Is that kind of how it works?
Yes. Yeah. You know, so we spend about 2 to 3 months, you know, learning about each department, and then also just, you know, hands-on work, you know. Yeah. You're not just shadowing, but you're also a part of it. So it's just like, you know, this is what we do on a daily basis, and you know, this is the preparation we have to do. We have meetings, you know, we're going after it. So yeah, I have the opportunity to learn about each department 2 to 3 months, and even if I'm not a part of a certain department, I enjoy the opportunity that we get to be able to learn departments we're not in and getting to know that staff and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just sky's the limit when it comes to like being able to learn about the front office. I mean, I'm really appreciative about the program, and it's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it's the first year, so it's like, I'm really thankful for being the first recipient for the Bill Bartholomew.
Well, we couldn't have picked anybody better. I know that. And I can speak for y'all, for those out there listening, I can speak to the fact that JT he's not just shadowing. So he sat in on a lot of our marketing meetings, which is the department I work in. And you sat in on a few of our social media meetings, which is just a smaller group of us that do all the social media. And you don't just listen, like you contribute. And I can't remember what the post was now. I remember we were trying to decide what was going to be the caption for a post. And you were sitting, I think you were actually sitting right there at this table. And whatever your suggestion was, we were all debating it. And then you came up with something and we went, that's it. And that's what we actually ended up using, was that caption that you came up with. And now it's driving me nuts that I can't think of. I'm going to go back in my notes and find it. But that's what's great. You're not just shadowing, you're contributing. And but more than that, man, we just all love you around here. I mean, you're one of the most positive people I've ever met. You're always smiling. And we're just so lucky to have you here. And yeah, and I've already kept you for longer than I said I was going to, so I lied, so I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. We're both talkers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what happens. Yeah, you got me real comfortable, so yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure, definitely. Now, again, I mean, I love you guys, too. Like, I think I told people, it's like, man, this is like literally, I mean, I have multiple homes, but like, this is like a second home.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it helps when you learn, work in a culture where everybody is willing to work together, you know, no matter the differences, and you know, willing to get to understand somebody, you know, that might be a little bit more different than, you know, they are, you know. And then again, it goes back to the, you know, the ADA, you know, situation where like me, Katie, and Andy is like, we might have, you know, we might be a little different, but you know, we still have that skill set that, you know, no different than any other person. And you know, I give props to the Atlanta Braves for, you know, being open to giving us, you know, opportunity to work in the work industry. And you know, for us, and you know, for future people that, you know, believe, you know, may not have the confidence on working for a sports industry, but you know, it's open, you know, like you guys are open to that.
Yeah. That's one thing I've learned from y'all that was so great about the panel discussion. I've learned from you, of course. Katie and I have known each other for a long time now. And I knew her before she lost her vision. Of course, she's longtime listeners of this show. Remember we had Katie on. If you're a newer listener, you can go back and find that show from a few years ago where she tells her story. It's pretty, just like JT's, it's pretty incredible. But it's not about, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't feel like it's about offering some special opportunity or something, or access. It's more about just an equal opportunity. You know, that's what it's all about. Just give us a shot, right? I mean, that's what just like you said, we've got skills too. It would just give us an opportunity, and it's about that. And then one thing that I love, you really talked about during the panel, that it made me feel that much more comfortable, is you saying, if you have questions about me or my situation or anything, just ask me. You know, I think that's such a big, it seems like such a simple thing, but it's such a big deal too, to just let your people you're working with, you're with every day, like, hey, like, you can talk to me, just ask me a question, like, and I'll be happy to talk to you about it. And I think that was, it takes such courage, and it's just, well, it just took such courage to do what you guys did and talk to all of us. Because and for all of you out there listening, when I say this was like a panel discussion in a town hall, I mean the whole front office was there, which is, you know, I don't know, 100, 150 people were there, maybe 200 people there that day.
Right.
It was downstairs in the Delta Club, and it was a big room full of people. So just talking to that big room of people like that is, at least for me anyways, that's pretty intimidating. You handled it like a pro, like it was nothing. But for me, that's pretty intimidating. So kudos to y'all for doing that. Well, JT, all right, I've held you way longer than I said I was going to. But thank you so much. And I know Braves fans are going to love hearing from you. But yeah, thank you for taking the time to speak with me, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.